Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can just find me in normal life, not involved in anything else right now but this. And Ben Mandelker, who's also doing the Real Housewives of Kitchen Island cartoon on YouTube and the Game Brain podcast, which you can find wherever you listen to other podcasts, okay? Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. What's up?
Nothing. Nothing. That was all my excitement for this Monday. Oh, okay. I'm done now. Just dropping the mic and walking away.
Used it all up. That's all right. Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, I love a weekend, girl.
Oh, good. Love to hear that. Love to hear that.
Super, super fun. And here we are with Real Housewives of Atlanta and Married to Medicine.
What a combo. What a classic combo. Yeah, this big duo. Both episodes were quite fun. Lots of fun, hilarious things. I don't think we have anything to plug or anything like that. So why don't we just like dive into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So Atlanta, let's start with Atlanta. And the episode opens up with Kenya showing up at some sort of showroom where she's meeting up with Marlo and Fallon, who we haven't seen Fallon in a while. And the showroom is actually Marlo's showroom, where I guess she's like selling her old clothes or something like that.
She's renting them out.
She's renting them out.
Yeah, she's renting out
Runaway.
Yeah, Ted Turner allegedly bought pieces to her friends, which, you know, it's like her own little Poshmark, but she doesn't have to deal with... Well, this Poshmark doesn't rent, they sell, right? But it's kind of like, you know, Marlo's version of Poshmark.
Yeah, exactly. And she's called it Le Apostrophe Archive, which is hilarious to me because... So the thing is this, you know, like in French, when you have like two vowels like that, like Le ends with an E and archive starts with an A, you put down an apostrophe and it just becomes L'Archive, right? And that, so the fact that she's calling it Le with apostrophe archive, it's like... It's hilarious because it just is like, oh, you're trying to be so fancy, but you're like, it's just so Marlo. It is so, so Marlo.
Well, you know what? She just needs to take those funds that she makes off renting her old Ted Turner clothes, and she needs to put those into some Rosetta Stone, okay? And she needs
to learn that. I think she's been using Rosetta Pebble. I don't know. Like, you know, like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, she's not a native French speaker, and neither am I, but it's just one of those things where it's just when you see people trying to, like, be like, ooh, here's my fancy rent my couture. I'm calling it L'Archive. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, it's also very connecty to other Bravo shows, you know, because there's Le Dom. Okay, mm-hmm. And so Karen has her fragrance, and now she has a wig line, and Marlo was also trying to do a wig line before she went to this. So, you know, and you know what? You need some Le Dom to spray on those old-ass clothes so you don't walk around smelling like someone's bits, okay? Because you're renting that shit. So
the
it's
point
like
is
a
we need
circle
Emily
of life.
In Paris. We need Emily in Paris to walk in with her beret and say, isn't it strange that it's called Le Archive, but it's women's clothes? Liberate the archive. Liberate the archive.
Le Pluc. So Kenya is walking in, and the song playing for her is like, I'm royalty. You better serve your queen. I was like, that's some royalty in a pink plastic outfit. I don't know why you're wearing that, but you're an Atlanta queen. Okay.
I just love the irony of a royalty-free song declaring that it's royalty.
So she meets Marlo, and I just wrote, she meets Marlo and Rich Chick, who, you know, of course, later I learned is Fallon, which I should have known, but why remember Fallon, okay? There's only so much space left in my brain. I'm old, and I'm not going to remember Fallon unless I need to. But by the end of this episode, I think I sure will, okay? She tattooed herself onto my brain by the end of this episode.
With
the
golf
but at
club.
The beginning, I was like, that rich lady. So they go in there, and look, I've... And Kenya's like, what is this for rentals?
Yeah, and Kenya is much more supportive of this than Marlo's wig line, mainly because she's friends with Marlo now and needs her as an ally. So she's, you know, and she talks to us about how she's happy to be slowly becoming friends with her again. And Fallon, they do this thing where Fallon says, She's like, oh, by the way, I was just telling Marlo I'm having a Halloween party. And then we see flashback to 30 minutes earlier. Hey, I'm having a Halloween party. You got to come. I'm like, thanks for that flashback. It really fleshed out that idea that she's having a Halloween party. That
was really important. What kind of storyboard meeting was that? We can't fit this in. We cannot fit. Cut it out. I want to start with the Queen song. All right.
It's like when she says she's having a Halloween party, do we really feel it? Yeah, but we should have a flashback to when she says it to Marlo also.
Yeah, this would really land better in semi-black and white. So let's have it as a flashback, okay?
Yeah. But Marlo won't be able to make it, unfortunately. And Fallon's husband won't be there. And then Fallon just leaves. They won't even let her do the full scene. So she leaves. And then Kenya now is, Kenya's being ridiculous. She's like, I'm shocked at the behavior at some of these girls that we hang out around. Like, oh, yeah. When did she become such a prude? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. She's doing the Sadie married lady thing where it's like you get married and then suddenly, like, how many people from high school do you know, men and women, that were just complete drug addict sluts? It's like the second they pop out a baby, it's like, it's not a, you didn't get baptized because you guys had a baby. Okay. Mm-hmm. I still remember, and I still have pictures on my phone of your ass doing lines at a party. So, you know, don't test me, people.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Jax Taylor, right? Like, look at the journey he's been on. I don't know when they're having that baby. It's been about 5 years, but, you know, when it does eventually pop out, expect to see him, you know, well, he's already been doing that thing. Like, I'm so wholesome. You know, yeah. I watch Friends every night on Nickelodeon, all that bullshit.
Yeah. He tags HGTV and everything now. That's like his move on wholesome. I think they're just going to give birth to a jar of mayonnaise. And until I see that baby, I will not be convinced otherwise.
Well, bring out the Hellmans and bring out the best. Am I right?
So Kenya's saying, well, you better be careful who you rent these costumes to, because if you rent to some of these girls with their waps, I mean, that's gross. I'm just shocked at their behavior. And Marlo's like, well, you know, if something happened. She's like, oh, just stop, Marlo. Something happened. But maybe it was just the TV.
There's no maybe. It was just the TV, Marlo.
Wow. Kenya's just really pushing for the storyline. And it really just has not gotten any traction except with her, you know? So
I see that a lot just in general in society. All right, may I make a societal comment?
Go for it.
I see all
it,
these people
please.
Clutching their fucking pearls all of a sudden. You know, cut it with the Puritan bullshit, okay? Our generation fought a lot to be sexually open and free, and now we got all these pearl clutchers fucking everywhere you turn. I'm sick of hearing from you guys. Just shut up. If you don't like the shit on the Grammys, turn it off, okay? It's not for you.
What happened on the Grammys?
Oh, everybody was all offended the next day because of the like WAP dancing and all the twerking and this that. And it's like, you know, you can say Dr. Seuss is wrong. They had this like Republican meme going around, or conservative meme, I guess I should differentiate in case anyone out there is clutching already. But there was a meme going around that said, this is wrong, and it's Dr. Seuss. And this is wrong, Mr. Potato Head. And this is wrong, whatever other thing was canceled or whatever that week. And then it had a WAP at the bottom and it said, but this is celebrated. I'm like, shut up. Okay. If you don't like it, it's not made for you. Just turn it.
God, I love when people who complain about cancel culture are like also just like chomping at the bit to cancel something too. You know, I love that so much.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
I'm part of the channel changer culture. Okay. If I don't like something, I just pretend it's not there. I'm part of the avoidance culture.
I'm part of the you should be watching something other than the Grammys anyway culture. Because, I mean, really.
Okay, so why are we talking about
I saw some of the Grammys and I was like, I changed the channel way before it got to a WAP dance.
Oh, you did? They were dancing inside a giant high heel. It was actually pretty cool. I thought it was really neat. Okay, so Marlo's trying to be nice to the other girls about it, and Kenya will not have it. So Marlo decides to get Kenya the best way, which is just to start other gossip and give her fuel for other fires she can set. So she says, well, you know what's going on with LaToya, because I went to Shamia's house, and LaToya comes in, you know, and starts with her, starts about her and her husband, and then she said that you're really close and that you just filed from divorce, and Mark wants money from you, and he filed for alimony.
Hmm. Yeah.
You might want to mention that I have some really good rentals that he could spend that money on.
Well, hopefully none of her rentals involve stripes, because that's crazy in a tie. What? A tie with stripes on it? Oh, man, Kenya. So Marlo, Marlo's like, I was like, why is LaToya telling this group of girls? Like, why would she do that? It's not like we're on a TV show where you are rewarded for being extra messy. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah. Oh my God, you just reminded me of that Mark scene getting dressed. Oh, how mean he was to Kenya. And even made me feel for Kenya that he was such an asshole. And Kenya's sitting in here making fun of rental clothes, but then she had that closet full of, I mean, it, to her credit, they weren't rental clothes for Mark. They were all Old Navy clothes with the tag still on. But still.
She created her own archive. It was called Lil Archive. Lil Archive, you know, to accommodate
Lil Archive Navy.
Lil, well, that would have actually been a proper use of an apostrophe if she Lil apostrophe archive.
You can tell what bitch has Rosetta Stone right now, and that bitch is Lemie. Okay,
I'm a little apostrophe behind on my Rosetta Stone. I'm still in the phase where I'm learning things like La Luna es blanca,
La Mujer corre.
Oh my God. So many women eating rice. So many women eating rice on Rosetta Stone. La mujer corre. Arroz. I clearly am behind.
Las muchachos cocina. I'm gonna learn Spanish, but I'm gonna walk around repeating everything over and over, because that's how you have to do it on
Rosetta. I know. I really have to do it. Let's do it on the podcast. Let's annoy everyone. Let's like make this both like a recap, but also a how to speak Spanish podcast. Ellas corres.
Yo quiero pan. Yo quiero pan.
Tenemos. Tenemos, I don't know what I have, but what we have.
Tenemos.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what we have.
Tenemos un podcast. Tenemos un podcast.
Tenemos. Bloop, bloop. That's the sound of me hitting the wrong thing. Bloop, bloop. Tenemos. Okay. I can't think of any of my nouns.
So Kenya is now mad at LaToya because she finds out LaToya's been talking trash. And she's like, I really hate fake stuff. Okay, Kenya. So Marlo is so excited that Kenya came to support her without a drumline this time. And, you know, Kenya doesn't even take one of the little baby sliders. And I worry about all the people who come into that showroom, because, you know, there are going to be like four people who come to that showroom, and each one of them is going to be offered a little slider that has already been microwaved 17 times.
Little slider. You know? Little slider.
Little slider.
Little burger. Little burger.
Hamburguesa. Poquito. Una hamburguesa. Poquito.
Ella corre una hamburguesa. Is that how you say hamburger?
I don't know what you just said.
Is it feminine?
Wait, say it again.
We need to get Emily in Paris. Una hamburguesa. I haven't learned hamburger yet on Rosetta Stone, so I was following your lead.
Oh, una hamburguesa? No, I don't know. I don't know if it's male or female. You know what? It's a confusing hamburger. We're going to have to figure that out later.
El hamburguesa. We don't even know if it's called hamburguesa, do we?
I think it's hamburguesa. Yeah.
All our Spanish-speaking listeners are now actually just furious at us. I'll stick with French. How about
Listen,
I go back to
we're
French?
We're trying, okay? We're trying.
Well, this is a very multilingual episode already. We got French. We got Spanish. We got Marloese. It's great.
Yeah, I want one day to be able to do watch what grappin in Espanol, okay? It's muy importante.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, let's broaden our horizons, guys. Yeah. So next we go to Drew's house, speaking of broadening horizons, because she's making soup, okay?
Yeah. Well, she's not making soup. It looks like she ordered some pho of some sort. I don't know. I spent a lot of time trying to decide if it was pho or ramen, because that's just how I roll. And so she brings her mom some soup, and she's just basically says that she's going to be going to New Orleans for a work trip, and that she's inviting the girls so it could be a real girls trip. And she's also excited because she can learn a little bit more about her family history, because Jeanette's family comes from New Orleans. And so then Mama Jeanette starts telling stories about how when she would drive from Chicago to New Orleans, she really encountered major racism because she couldn't sleep at the hotels everyone else could sleep at or go to the same bathrooms. And so they just start talking about this lineage and how there were Caucasians in Mama Jeanette's family, which then leads to the revelation that Mama Jeanette herself was actually adopted.
Yes. And she's saying when you become adopted, you become the child of the person that adopts you. So as far as she's concerned, her DNA is her adopted parents. And she doesn't want to know anything about...
Yeah, she's like, fuck my dad.
Yeah, she's like...
He didn't want to know me for 76 years.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Portia, and she's feeding spaghetti to PJ. So there's that. And
is very Portia, because she's like, you know, you have to finish every little drop of that spaghetti. Oh, it's on your shirt. Eat it. Okay? Because that's the equivalent of me eating cracker crumbs on my lap. You do not waste. Which I really vibed with that.
Mm-hmm. And then we go to some place called Aquarama, and Kenya's there with her cousin, and they're looking at tiles. They're just talking, and like her cousin's in the chef jacket, in case you forgot she's a chef. She's like, well, so I may be going to a tile store, but since I am going to be on TV, why don't I just remind everyone that I am a private chef if anyone needs me. Anyone in this tile store need a chef? Anyone? Anyone?
Sorry. I took a vape thing like an idiot.
Well, while you cough, then we go over to Candy's house.
I was just cracking up like a chef. Like, you get it with a doctor, you know? It's like, you're showing up in your scrubs. And I get it. You're a doctor, you know? Also, are those clean scrubs? Because, like, it's a dangerous time. Yeah. But, yeah, that was funny walking around.
Speaking of which, what a great transition to Candy Burris. Speaking of no scrubs, she is working out at 5 a.m., which is certifiably crazy. I don't know how people work out at 5 a.m. Okay. I know there are people who do it. People who listen do it. I don't know how you do it.
I was in one time and I did it. I had a job that started at 7 and I would get up at 5 and go work out every day. And I was like, you know what? There's no better way to start the day than to work out. And it's like the second I found weed again, I was like, bye. Never seen that time of day again.
I fully believe that people who work out at 5 a.m. do it solely so that way they can tell all their friends, I love working out at 5 a.m. because the gym is just so empty. They just love talking about how empty the gym is at that time.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what else is empty? You know what else is empty? My household, because I'm in bed. I'm in bed right now at that moment. That's
yeah.
That's what's happening.
So Candy's works out with weights like I do. It's like, pick the lightest ones and just kind of like look like you're a kid having a tantrum with your hands. Like,
yeah, that's a good way to do it. Candy also has big news. She got a role in a movie that's based off of Melissa Gorga's boutique. It's called Envy. And I don't know if she'll be playing Kim D or that crazy lady who used to work at Envy, but she got a role.
It's about a scandal about bags being sold to Chanel's when they're not really Chanel's.
Or maybe it's just about the history of Nevada.
Well, this came out in 2004, and it's by Amblin Entertainment. So congrats for your time machine, Candy, and being in a Steven Spielberg
film. That is actually the most Steven Spielberg thing you could do, is actually get into a time machine and go into one of his movies.
Yeah, actually, it was directed by Candy Barry Levinson. Okay, it starred Ben Stiller, Jack Black, and Candy Burris. I mean, I just don't know how she finds the back in time.
I just want to see her. I would like to see Candy in a Steven Spielberg movie, because she would be great in every single one of them, right? Like, I could imagine her as like Elliot and just like on a bicycle with E.T. Just E.T. in the basket, but she'd be like, what? Okay, get this bicycle to E.T. You better put this bicycle down. Like, she's just yelling at E.T.
She would never become friends with E.T. because she'd keep putting down like a little Reese's Pieces and then eating it, you know.
Jaws.
There would never be a trail to follow.
She's in a boat in Jaws. Jaws like sticks his head out, and she'd be like, okay, we're going to the shore. And then the rest of the movie is just her sitting like near the shore, but like not on the beach, just telling people, don't go in there. I wouldn't go in there. There's a shark in there. I wouldn't go in there.
So then we go over to Cynthia and Mike walking hand in hand. They're walking down a cobblestone street, and she's falling all over the place in her high heels. And he's like,
who's cobblestone?
I guess. He's like, you're wobbling like a newborn giraffe with those shoes. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt with the cobblestone. I don't know.
I don't think there was cobblestone, but I like to think that she was walking in some sort of like colonial Williamsburg part of Atlanta or something, which is probably not such a good thing. But so they sit down and they're just still kind of glowing from their wedding, which, you know, was sweet, actually. Normally I would hate that, but for some reason I'm like okay with it. And I was really distracted because they're sitting outside of some sort of like breakfast coffee shop, and there was a giant poster of like this huge image of an espresso cup, and then below it it said espresso. I was like, of course Cynthia goes to a very literal coffee shop.
So they're talking about how Leon did an Instagram post to congratulate them on their wedding, and we see it, and he's like, you were a supermodel, a supermom, and now a super wife. And to Mike Hill, let's say laugh at how he says Mike Hill. He's like, I'm happy for you. Wink.
Yeah. He's like, and you made a super mistake by leaving me because I'm still sexy. Signed, yeah. Black Jesus.
So they talk to Ralph. They talk to Drew, who is telling them she's going to do a girl's trip right, okay? She's not going to do some lame-ass Kenya trip. Ralph got them a private jet.
Right, she did. We should also mention that when Drew called up, she's like, hey, Mrs. Hill. And Cynthia's like, Mrs. Who? Mrs. Hill. Mrs. Who? Mrs. Hill. Say it for the people in the back. Mrs. Hill. I'm like, okay. So I was down for like the cute glow, like talking about, wow, that wedding was great, etc. But okay. But now teasing this out of Drew, like, okay, she has to say Mrs. Hill over and over and over again. That's enough, Cynthia. That's enough.
Yeah, no, that's what you get. That's what you get. That's your married friend now. So next year it's going to be, hey, a year ago, throwback wedding day to a year ago. Remember this, everyone? And then two years. Guys, remember 2 years ago?
Remember when we went to the espresso place? By the way, when we were on Watch What Happens Live last week, I think it was Ira who asked during the after show about how production dealt with Cynthia's super spreader event. And basically, I don't know if anyone saw this. People may have missed it because it wasn't actually on the show. But Andy said that they had to shut down production for 2 weeks after Cynthia's wedding because obviously there were people at the wedding who did not get tested. So this looks like this was probably like their first time finally being able to film and like, you know, relish in their marriage.
Yeah, well, we're just suggesting that you get tested and wear a mask, okay? We're just suggesting that you pay your taxes this year, guys, okay? Just suggesting.
We're going to have an indoor event with nearly 300 people during a global pandemic, during a hurricane. We're just going to lightly suggest maybe getting a test. I don't know.
Yeah. So then we get a Drew and Ralph scene, and they start talking about how Josiah's dad is calling because he's out of prison now. So he's been calling to spend time with the kid, and she's crying about it for obvious reasons, you know. And she's like, you're the only dad he knows, and he doesn't even want to talk to the dad. And it's really sad. And Ralph is actually super sweet about it, which kind of makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know what was so sweet of him is when Drew starts to cry and he gets up from his chair and moves over to her like he's going to hug her, but then he doesn't. You know, I liked that. That was like a really sweet, almost gesture.
Well, he didn't want to block the view of his hidden camera in case he wanted to watch this later.
Ralph was good in this scene. It almost makes me erase the fact that someone, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, someone pointed us to the direction of something on Instagram. I don't know how new this was, but it was the first time I remember seeing it. But Ralph was on Claudia Jordan's show. Claudia Jordan has some sort of show. Maybe it's on Instagram only. I don't know what it is. But Ralph was on there, and Claudia Jordan was like, so where'd you go in Tampa? And Ralph, like, she was like, why'd you go to Tampa? Like, why and where? And he's like, well, first, you have to understand, Claudia, like, you know, as a man, there's like a lot I've got to take care of. And, you know, like, it was just like a lot. And then, like, Drew, she almost had like an infection. So we had to know, like, did she have an infection? You know, women, they just like poke, poke, poke. And I'm very pragmatic. I'm just a pragmatic person. And she just poked and poked. And I'm pragmatic. And, you know, it was a lot going on. And Claudia goes, yeah, that's cool. Where'd you go?
Wait, are you sure this wasn't B. Scott? Because I saw a B. Scott one, and she had all the husbands on. Or they have. I mean, it was Claudia.
I'm pretty sure it was Claudia Jordan. I mean,
well, that's what we really get bad for watching things so quick on Facebook.
I watch it in the morning. I know I woke up and it was like, yeah, the first thing I
saw. Yeah, I just have that shit playing all the time. I'm like, whatever people post, I have it playing all day. But I saw, maybe he did a couple, but I saw him on B. Scott, and he was doing that, just refusing to answer. Just answer the question, sir. What were you doing in Tampa? He's like, well, you know, Tampa, yeah, there's so many things. You know, geography. I love maps. You know, sometimes with maps, you get on, you look at a map, and oh, that's a gas station. You got to stop and get some gas.
You know, women have a thing they do every month, you know, and I'm a good husband. I have to get tampons from my wife, but I got tampon confused with Tampa, and I don't know. It's just like, I'm pragmatic.
I blame CarPlay, okay? I blame Siri when I said, take me to get tampons. Ended up in Tampa, okay? Sorry, blame CarPlay, okay?
Just turns into Ramona. He just takes off his face. It's Ramona. Like Mission Impossible style. Like, you know what? Fine. Here's the news. It was me all along.
I don't wear masks in the ocean weddings, gang.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they show up at this Halloween party. Now it's this haunted house. And there's like a really scary haunted house. And Cynthia, of course, shows up first because she's Cynthia. And she runs in dressed as hand sanitizer.
Yeah, yeah. I liked that. I appreciated that. That was good. So the house is crazy. Like the house has this big haunted house component and it's bonkers. And once you get through the haunted house, you emerge in Fallon's sterile kitchen, like this super, super white kitchen that has like vague mist, not like fog in it. And it's just like a cold, sterile, unfun kitchen. And so it's like, oh, okay, cool. So Candy shows up next, and she's dressed like a cat, or cheetah is officially what she is dressed as. And it was funny because she like walks in and she walks up to the haunted house part, and this like guy goes up to try to startle her. He's like, "Aah!" And she just looks at him like, "Ah." Like, I don't know who you are, but I'm Candy Burris. Excuse me.
Yeah. And let's see, Shamia is like a spaceman. And they're all, you know, super impressed with the haunted house. But when you get through the haunted house into the boring kitchen, they're like, oh, so we're just going to sit at your kitchen table. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for having us over. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all upset about the food, too, because it's like some microwave Costco shit just like kind of put out on the kitchen island. And Candy's like, no.
Yeah. And Cynthia's like, you know, the haunted house scared the crap out of me. But once I got through it, there's kind of nothing to do. I think it's because they sat around a table.
Candy
not
alone
island.
Could have eaten everything she had there.
Yeah. And then Fallon was actually kind of shading Cynthia because Candy came in like she was like so made up with like this like cat, this cheetah costume. And Fallon was also, by the way, had an amazing costume. She was Medusa and she looked, I mean, it was insane. And so she's like, see, this is what I like in a costume is like someone to be dressed like this, you know? And Cynthia tells us, she's like, excuse me, the best costume of all time is when I came as 50 Cent. I was like, oh, we came so close to not mentioning 50 Cent this episode.
Well, at least she didn't come as Maria from Sound of Music just so she could like twirl around and sing about being on the heel.
Oh, God.
So then Countess Luann comes in dressed as Diana Ross. And, oh, sorry, it's Kenya dressed in a Native American outfit. Wow, Kenya. What a choice.
Luann is so happy that she can finally, you know, give the problematic Halloween costume crown to someone new. She's like, oh, thank God. Take this away from me.
Yeah, someone tweeted something along the lines of, wow, you know, all the progress we're trying to make this year, and Kenya shows up dressed in a Native American costume. And
yeah,
she replied to it, it's my heritage too. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh.
And then someone commented to that, oh, so you're taking the Kelly Dodd defense, huh?
I'm black.
Yeah. Not a great look. So so then Drew shows up. She's also dressed as like a cat, and but her cat version is Cats the Musical, which is kind of, you know, fun.
I know. Like, then, this party needed to be more awkward. Okay. Like, this party was already hard to sit through before you became the actual cats.
Right. And then Drew is finally the one who because we're all thinking it at this moment. And then Drew is finally the one who's like, Kenya's Native American costume is super problematic. You know, she's like, I feel like I'm the only one who sees issues with Kenya Moore's decisions.
Yeah. And Kenya's like, well, Marlo was gonna come, but she couldn't come after all. Sorry, everybody. My dear friend Marlo just couldn't make it today.
My dear friend Marlo. Did you mean to not come, Marlo?
So they're all shocked that she's suddenly like best friends with Marlo and reporting whether or not she's going to come. And so Shamia starts giving her shit for it. She's like, can we get a temperature check on Kenya, please? And then LaToya comes in as a dead mermaid. She's just dressed kind of normal, but she's wearing color contacts and has a fishnet in her hair.
Yeah. She looked vaguely like, I was trying to figure out what she looked like. The last thing that she looked like was an actual mermaid who was dead. She just was. Had like silver and blue, kind of like Captain America-esque, maybe, or Vision. Look at me. Now I've seen WandaVision. I'm making all the Marvel references. but yeah, it was just like lots of makeup and netting, I think. I think that's what I saw. Anyway, LaToya's annoying, so I'm not going to give her costume any credit. That's the point of what I'm trying to say.
Well, LaToya did come in making an effort today to make things happen, but she's just really rude and obnoxious. So she comes in, yeah. And she's like, are you gonna put a drink real quick for me in front of me? Come on, give me a drink. And Fallon's like, well, you know, you can get it over there. No, I need a drink. I'm gonna be served. I mean, yeah. This home is beautiful, but I mean, come on. Like, I mean, well, she goes, this is what dating a 65-year-old man gets you. Okay, I could use some service over here. So she just comes in trying to start a fight.
Yeah, she's immediately shading Fallon for dating like an older man. And I just feel like LaToya hasn't earned this ability. And I understand what she's doing. It's like crabs in the bucket, right? Because it's like they're battling to be who is going to be a friend of on this show, you know, like, or the more dominant friend of. So she's got to take down her nearest competition. But it's just like, we haven't even seen your house, Toya. Have we seen LaToya's house? I keep calling her Toya, but LaToya's house.
No, doesn't she live with her parents?
I don't even know.
I think she mentioned that she lives with her parents, but I don't know.
But I'm just like, who are you to be talking, like trying to be shading someone's McMansion? Okay. I don't even understand why LaToya is even on this show, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, so, and now she's making me defend Fallon of all people. So, Fallon is like, she's like, well, you can help yourself right there, which admittedly is not a very host-like thing to say, but, you know, either way, it's not the biggest offense.
But this girl's just coming at her being a dick for no reason. So she's like, well, just get yourself something. And she's like, I will not be in this house with no one serving me service. And she goes, okay, I'll get it for you. But just so you know, rich people talk like that. Rich people don't talk like that. Only broke people do, which is Fallon's thing.
Yeah.
As the episode goes on, we learn that that's Fallon's thing. Rich people don't act like that. What are you poor?
I think it's not so much Fallon's thing. It's just that, like, that's her. That's where she feels like she can get LaToya. Like, she's like, okay, fine. Like, I'm just going to shade her for being poor. So anyway, LaToya is like, well, she's from the hood herself. She came up, da 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 da. And Candy's like, no, like, bitch, just serve yourself like the rest of us did, okay? Because if Candy Burris is serving herself, and she is pretty much like the senior member of this cast, and also probably the wealthiest, and also the most established, you can serve yourself too, LaToya.
Yeah, she's in a movie from 2004 in current times. So show some respect. So Drew tries to change the conversation and give a cheers to everybody, like, to great company. And LaToya's like, yeah, you know, me and Drew have a love-hate relationship. Because after Shamia's house, you came to my house. And everyone's like, what? And Drew just says, yeah, well, I took her home because she was too drunk. You know, I mean, my God, I'm not a monster.
It's, by the way, which is very, that's not a love-hate relationship. That's someone is a decently good human who doesn't want you to drive drunk and like hurt yourself or someone else. I don't think that's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah. So then Kenya's there already. Sorry. Yeah. Native American costume. So LaToya's like, well, Kenya, I haven't even seen you. You haven't messaged me. You haven't called me. Everyone, Kenya's been avoiding me. Do you have a new wing woman? Because if I've been replaced, I'll just move on.
Yeah. And Kenya is like, well, you already have moved on. You moved on in Charleston. So then they do
this
like a little.
This is just too much. LaToya is just making too much effort. It's like those guys who twirl signs, you know, like for an oil change. Those guys just standing out there twirling your signs. Like, I get it. That's your job. But you don't have to like do the moonwalk and a handstand at the same time. It's making me uncomfortable at the red light. You know what I mean? You're working too hard for the oil change promo.
Yeah, I think that LaToya may be one of the worst cast additions of the past year on Bravo. I mean, I think that she's like truly annoying in a way that has very little entertainment value. And a lot of times I'll really hate on someone on one of these shows, and then the next season I will love them. Like somehow I'll decide I'll love them. I don't really see that happening with LaToya. I think that she's just like really thirsty, and I don't think that she's authentic. I think she's playing to the camera. She can't stop smiling through everything she's doing, which makes me think that this is not really coming from an authentic place. And she just sort of like trails around all these housewives. Like she's always just like right on their backside. Just like right there trailing them around, just trying to get into a scene with them. I'm just over
try her. Try hard. Yeah, try hard. So they try and do another toast. Drew's like, okay, well, that's fun. Now let's toast to Mrs. Chahil. And Candy's like, well, I have a toast as well. I got a new movie role. Let's toast to that. So they all do that. And Kenya's like, LaToya, we need to talk. So they go outside. And Kenya's like, I'm not very happy with you right now. LaToya, actually talking to Kenya and LaToya is similar, right? Because they both act like total children. So it's funny for Kenya to have to talk, try and fight with this child who won't fall into all of Kenya's traps.
No, not at all. So LaToya's like, well, you're always not happy with me, and there's always an issue, and I feel like you've been ignoring me. And Kenya's like, when I told you what was going on with me and my husband, why would you take it to the girls who don't like me? Why would you do that? And LaToya's like, well, I felt like in that moment I had to defend you and protect you because they were trying to make you look like a terrible person. And Kenya's like, terrible for what? Which is hilarious because Kenya is the one trying to slut shame Portia and Tanya on every single episode.
Yeah. So LaToya says, well, look, I don't know what you did to Portia, but she's cool. And my loyalty is to you, but I still like her. She's like, your loyalty isn't to me. And she goes, it is, Kenya. And she's like, I do not like when you raise your voice. Which nothing's really working against LaToya because she's just acting like Kenya. This is normally what Kenya would do. So yeah. LaToya's like, well, I don't know. Oh, wait.
She's like this. LaToya's like, she's like, that's how I speak. I'm Trinidadian, you know? And if you can't deal with it, then you can't deal with me. And you don't want a relationship with me. I'm like, oh, okay. So Toya's like, I'm going back into the sea because I can't deal with you. You know, because she's a dead mermaid, everyone. And LaToya's like, I need love and affection. You're going to give it to me? And Kenya's like, no, you got it from Portia.
So then Portia arrives outside, you know, she arrives at the party and is saying hi to everybody, and everyone hates her costume because it's just very weak. It's like some cat ears, you know.
It is standard, the cat ear thing is like the standard, I don't want to dress up for this party, but I will dress up. I'll do the bare minimum to show that I care a smidgen. Like I can't tell you how many times I stopped at a gas station
on my way over here.
Yeah. It's either the cat ears or the devil horns. Like I can't tell you how many times I've seen like someone dressed like it's like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, but they got the devil ears on. They're like, look, I dressed up for Halloween. What do you want
from me? I have a monk robe my friend made me 10 years ago. And that's it. Every year.
That's yours.
A monk robe. That's it.
Go to.
It's zero effort. So the producer asked Candy, well, what part of that costume let you down? And she goes, the whole thing. And then she does her like squeal laugh at the producer and rolls her eyes. Back outside. Oh, Portia says, I thought it was going to be a huge party. So I'm actually glad I got my outfit from Party City.
Yeah. They also label her, the producers label her as a domestic cat as opposed to Cats the Musical. So now
back outside, LaToya's like, I was just tipsy, baby. And she's like, it doesn't matter. What I'm focused on is I cannot trust you. And she's like, but I mean, I only brought it up because Candy brought it up first. So I thought it was okay to be bringing it up because Candy did it.
just trying so hard to like defer some of the blame onto Candy. That's not going to work. And if it did work, it's going to backfire. You know, like you don't don't go up against Candy, LaToya. That is not going to work for you. So then LaToya's like, you know what? You were just, you know, you're going through a tough time. And I wanted them to sort of understand that. And Kenya goes, well, that makes it seem like there's an excuse for my behavior, but I have done nothing to those bitches. Nothing. You know, they fucked a stripper. I didn't. It's ridiculous for them that I'm even sitting here having to say to defend myself over some fucking tramps. So she's basically saying the way you're acting is the way what you're saying is making it sound like if I weren't going through these tough times, then maybe I'd be cool. But like, it's like what, like, make it seem like I'm the one who's having the issues because I'm the one having these emotions. It's like, well, first of all, you are, Kenya. And second of all, don't act like you're not going through something because we saw you at that crab dinner being like, you don't understand what I'm going through. Like, it's not easy for me. I don't have a village. So like, you either are going to use that as an excuse for why you are behaving the way you are or you're not. But you can't have it both ways. Okay.
And LaToya doesn't even fall for it and start apologizing or anything. And Kenya doesn't know how to deal with it. LaToya just goes, wow. And she's like, yeah, wow. You know what? Forget it. And Kenya's like, well, I can't even. LaToya says, I can't even take you seriously with that headdress. And so Kenya just walks away. And she's like, just leave me alone, LaToya. You know, so they go back inside. And Portia is asking where LaToya is. And what's her buns? Rich is telling her, oh, she came dressed as a broke ass mermaid. Okay. And she wants to come into my house and say, this is what a 65-year-old man does for you. And Portia just kind of laughs and goes, was she joking? She goes, I don't care. You don't do that in someone's home. And Portia says, yeah, I mean, at least get the age right. I mean, this is what a 55-year-old could do.
That's right. So Kenya and Toya come back, and Kenya's like, haha, we took a dip in the pool. The mermaid needed water. And Portia, like, touches LaToya's hair, and is like, well, her hair's dry, so what got wet? And everyone's like, ooh. So, or at least I was like that. When I say everyone, I was like, it was me doing that. So then,
I just imagine you watching myself. Real Housewives of Atlanta doing that.
I do that a lot to everything. I'll be like, a new Ford Fiesta for 2021. Ooh. Every commercial.
Portia tells us, so Kenya is a Native American warrior. I thought we weren't doing that anymore. I knew she was crazy, but add whack to the list. Okay? Yeah. Add lame to the list.
So LaToya decides she's going to leave. She's like, this is boring. I'm out, which is just so obnoxious. And so Portia is like, I'll walk you to the door. And then she's like, no. And LaToya wanted Kenya to walk her to the door. And Kenya's like, no, I'm not going to. Portia offered. Why don't you go with Portia? It's like ridiculous. So Portia walks LaToya out. And they like sit on the stoop outside. And LaToya's telling Portia about the conversation she had with Kenya. And she's like, I just feel like I have to choose sides because like you and Kenya have an issue. And like, I need to know what's the root of it. And Portia's like, what? Like, yeah, like
this has nothing to do with me. And you were the one who told her business. She's not mad at me for that. She's mad at you. And she's like, yeah, but we made out. And I think that that's a real problem. Portia's like, she starts doing that breakup thing. She's like, well, I think you're making it something that it was. Isn't okay.
Yeah,
I'm breaking up with you.
LaToya is definitely trying to like insert herself into this cast by adding more importance to that makeout session than really was there, you know, or maybe even trying to scandalize it. But like, no one cares, including Portia. So she's like, I feel like LaToya is speaking perfectly good English, but she's speaking it backwards. Like, nothing's really making sense about what she's saying.
Yeah. So everybody's like, why are we even here? This is so boring, right?
Yeah.
So Portia keeps telling her, I think this is going to drive a wedge between us and we should be cool. Just stop with all of this. And she's like, no, I need to know what the problem is. So Fallon is walking Kenya outside and these two girls are on the stoop. So they come out and Fallon's like, what y'all talking about on my stoop? So, she's like, why is everyone leaving? And LaToya goes, I feel the energy is off because of you, idiot.
Yeah. So Fallon's like, well, the energy may be off because you came into my house and disrespected my husband. So maybe that had something to do with it. So Toya's like, ugh. So she walks off to the car. And Fallon's like, exactly, walk away. That's what poor people do. Which, actually, I'm not sure that that's a socioeconomic quality. I think
that's what Fallon says. She's like, that's what poor people do.
I'm like, I appreciate going out of your way to like wedge in a shame, like a like to shame her somehow in this process. I don't think it makes sense. It's like, oh, look at you. Oh, going to the bathroom. That's exactly like what a poor person would do.
That's what poor people do. And this is when Latoya started making me laugh because she's standing away from them. You know, she's at the car and she goes, this ain't your property, ho.
and then Fallon, I mean, Fallon just doing non sequitur. She's like, I am 31, and before I was 31 years of age, I gave birth to 3 boys. I'm like, well, thank you for that. Are you being interviewed on Jeopardy right now?
Yeah, no one cares, okay? Like, and then Latoya yells, from 3 baby daddies. And Kenya's like, oh, God, Latoya's really showing her ass. I should have kept her more in check. And Fallon's like, and what someone is not going to do is come into the empire we built and disrespect my husband. And Latoya goes, well, keep it in your mouth, bitch.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Fallon. Like, I'm not gonna shame you, but I am going to say I'm not sure how much of that empire. I don't know how much. Like the we part is in that empire. Also, I'm not sure a McMansion is an empire. I mean, you have a kitchen island. That's cool, but it's not a real island. So, so Portia.
Trying
Portia
to goes get in, it up all night with those bags under your eyes. Ho!
Latoya is just standing off to the side, just throwing tomatoes, basically, at Fallon.
Yeah, and then Fallon's like, who are you talking to? Trini, which like felt actually a little problematic because it's like she was shaming her for her where she was born, you know. She's just pretty much like grasping at straws at this point, which is like what you grasp before you go for a golf club. So they're all like, now Fallon is fully triggered and now she's like pulling off her earrings and she's ready to fight Latoya. So then inside, the other women who have like are stuck in the sterile kitchen like hear the noise of woo! Like, are they fighting?
Yeah, it's basically fighting. The aunties again. You know, it's like Candy and Cynthia in the kitchen. Like, what is going on? And you just see Fallon run past them, and her hair is going all over because it's those little rubber snake things. And, and Portia says, she was running so fast, I only knew it was her because there was a little snake on the floor.
I know, she ran so fast and she like goes to the garage and they're like, what's she doing in the garage? And then we just see security just holding, she's holding a golf club and security's holding her. And I was like, wow. Now look, I do not support violence and I definitely don't want Fallon to like attack Latoya with a golf club. But I appreciated that visceral side of Fallon.
It was so funny.
I was like, wow.
It was so funny. She runs straight for the golf clubs. That cracked me up. And so they're like, holding her. She's like kicking her legs. And they like cannot keep her. You know, she's like, let me go. So then Drew, of course, tries to make it about herself. She's like, well, I guess the party's over. I'm trying to tell you, this is what Latoya does. She did that in South Carolina with me coming after my husband. Okay, like you have a legit complaint, but there's a golf club involved now. Can we just enjoy this scene, Drew?
Yeah, and then I don't know if you noticed this, and then we start seeing scenes from next week, and it goes, next time on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Did you hear that?
Atlanta.
It like got demonic.
Because it was evil. Yeah, because it's a haunted house.
But the thing is that like the haunted house already happened. I felt like it just felt like a very strange thing, like to demonize Portia's voice. Next time on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I'm like, is this Zool? What's happening?
Scary, Ben. It's because it was supposed to be scary, okay?
It was so scary. It was scary. And so that was Atlanta. So let's move on over to Married to Modelson.
Oh, thank God, Quad. That's all I needed in my life, okay? I'm a big Quadanon follower.
Quadanon.
I need her in my life. And she came back on the same day that HBO debuted a documentary called Q. It's like Q something. So I turned on HBO and it just had a huge advertisement for Q. And I was like, Quad's back. Yes. So I turned on Bravo instead.
Quad, I was actually really happy to see Quad too. I don't remember if I said this last week on the episode or if it was 2 weeks ago on the episode that never made it to air because of the audio glitch. But I feel like Quad as a friend of is a really good, I think that's really good for Quad and for us because I feel like we weren't always getting all that, like, I didn't always feel like she was enough. I like Quad, but I feel like she, like, there sometimes there were Quad scenes where I'm like, this is not great for me. Like, I just felt like she was holding back. She was, except around stuff with Dr. Gregory, I felt in other ways she was holding back, or I don't know what it was, but I think that, like, as a friend of, it was perfect. She just comes in, does a really good scene, it's funny, and then that's it. Like, that was the perfect amount. The perfect.
Oh, yeah. I love you, but I just have to disagree on this one. I love Quad. I think she's hilarious. And, you know, when people leave shows, I usually feel like, okay, it's time. You know, I don't go into the next season like, God, I really miss that person. Like, gee, I wish Jill Zarin could be back. You know, usually it's like, it's time. But with Quad, oh, I felt like she just breathed so much life into it right when she came on. I was like, okay, this is
she
fine.
Did.
Quad came on.
I know, I did. When she came on, I was surprised at how excited and happy I was. And she was great. I just feel like, you know, season one, I absolutely loved Quad. And I just felt like over the seasons, she kind of got more and more guarded. And it was kind of like always the same thing with her over and over again. So she was like always really funny in her interviews. And she could have a funny scene. But I kind of felt like, I don't know, there's something about her storylines that were getting like a little long in the tooth. But I feel like in this capacity where we don't have to like have super Quad-centric storylines, but she can drop in and be funny and all that. Like, that's, I think that's a great use of Quad.
Well, here we are watching what everybody's doing to start their day. And let's see. Contessa's cousin, nanny lady, is swinging and she's like, we're gonna have a meatless lunch today and meatless meatballs. And the kid's like, if it's not meat, it's just balls, right? They're like,
And Eugene is trying to fix a broken iPad and tells Toya that, you know, she may have to go 2 days without a phone. And she practically has a heart attack. And then Anila is trying to get her daughter to eat steak. And then we see kind of like a series of shots and scenes of all the doctors minus Heavenly all kind of waking up really early or being up early and basically working around the clock. Like, that's, I think that's what sort
of, we get a lot of car cam. Everybody, we see them all driving to and from work just exhausted basically because of COVID and talking about how scary it is, because unless you're really in the hospital all the time, seeing how serious it is, you know, you're not seeing all these people just come in and die. And they're all getting really scared because you're putting yourself at such a risk, you know?
And Eugene is like, I'm like this close to someone's face. Like, you know, just pretend you're seeing me, put my palms really close together. He's like, I'm this close to someone's face and I have a mask on, but I'm still like right up in their face. So it's like the daily stress that they are encountering. And at the same time, he also says how they're only seeing coronavirus patients. And he's like, what about people who have kidney failures or heart issues? Everyone's staying home and doctor's practices are closing. And so they're like, you know, I thought this was kind of a great sequence because it just is a great, it's a reminder of really how intense it is out there for the medical profession. And especially when you think back to few weeks ago on Real Housewives of Dallas, where Carrie's like, I'm stressed, I have a stressful life too. Or even Deandra being like, well, we all have stress. And Mama D being like, you do not have stress like that. You do not have stress like that. You know, it's like, take a look at this sequence right here. And it's true. Like, right now, like, to all our listeners in the medical community who are on the front lines of this, I definitely salute you because this is intense.
And then we go to Smiles by Heavenly, and she comes into the dentist room or whatever. The doctor, I don't even know what you call it. I was going to say like the operating room. But
like a dental bay. I don't know. Yeah, it's like not like those. It's like, I'm like mad at architecture.
A dental
like,
bay.
It's like an
I'll
open,
stick with
it's like an open
her office. She comes into the room. She comes into a room and
but
she's like, "Hey, sugar, nice to see you. It's a miracle." And the lady's name is actually Miracle. She's like, "Yes, I'm Miracle." Like, well, heavenly nice way to work that in. It's a miracle. So this woman was at a rally. Rather, for Black and Indigenous people, and someone was getting arrested, and she was filming him say his first and last name so that they could bail him out, and she was basically walking towards him getting arrested, holding her phone, you know, taking a video, and two cops come up and just punched her right in the face, and so we see pictures of her bloody mouth and teeth. Ugh.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
It's terrible. So Heavenly was basically doing this because she's like, you know, Black women have, I think she said Black women, but, you know, like she said, it's hard enough, right? Like we're trying to help people succeed and lift people up. And if you don't have teeth, you know, it's just that much harder. So when she saw Miracle's situation on social media, she flew her in for a smile makeover. So it was a really nice scene also, you know, Heavenly's been doing like good. She had a nice scene last week with Funky Deneva. Now she had a nice dental scene this week with Miracle. So it was kind of like a really nice way to open up the show where we just see all the medical professionals just like really, you know, at it, doing their thing, right?
So then Toya's house, Anila drives
up. And then Toya's playing tennis.
Yeah, Toya's, you know, in a golf cart.
And Toya's so, got, yeah, tennis class.
Yeah, Anila, same thing. And then we get the argument at the end with Toya, like, I deal with COVID every day. It's like, okay, Toya. So Anila's coming over to go play tennis with Toya. And
yeah.
So they go over, and of course, Anila doesn't play, so she's not good at it. But Toya's
like... They have bags on their back as if they're going to Wimbledon, for crying out loud, and they both barely know how to play. Continue.
Well, you got to put your club in it, your racket in a bag, okay? So they go, and Anila's just trying to have fun, but Toya is so serious. Anila's like, why don't you come on this court and play with me? She's like, no, I'm playing with the people who know how to play. Have fun over there. So she leaves her. Basically over there, and Anila just keeps going, I hear thunder. It is gonna rain because I hear thunder. She just wants to get the hell out of there so bad.
There was a lot of thunder rumbling. It was actually funny. I caught in the background the cameraman was like filming Toya, and the production assistant was holding a little umbrella over the cameraman, and it just looked so dainty and adorable. I was like, I just was so amused by that umbrella over the camera. But yeah, so Toya will not play with her, and they just talk about tennis a lot, and Toya's just excited. And when the pandemic, she wants the pandemic to be over by November, because it's really important for her that she gets to throw a tennis party and a Friendsgiving. So everyone mark your calendars for those two social events.
Yeah, Toya's storyline of being mad at COVID cracks me up. They're like, previously on Married to Medicine, she's like, fucking COVID. Why don't you spend time at home, Eugene? He's like, it's a pandemic.
I just can't get enough of Toya in suburbia just fully playing tennis every day for 2 hours a day, every single day.
So then we go over to Contessa's new office, and she's showing it off to Jackie. And basically, Jackie sits her down, and she's like, so you're working with your husband. How is that going? And Contessa just does the really long sip. There are a lot of there's a lot of emotions this year expressed through really long sips on this show, right?
Yeah.
She has
I like
sip.
It. It's very British.
We get a Neela sip later where she's very upset sipping. Then we get Toya anger sips. It's a very sippy emotion based season.
Well, it's too bad it didn't take place in Mississippi. So get it. Sippy.
I do. I sure do.
Because sippy rhymes with sippy. So so now they're talking about that. And basically, so Contessa's like, yeah, you know, it really still hurts me that he didn't support me last year. And Jackie's like, well, are you still in counseling? And she goes, Scott, quit counseling. And she's like, oh my goodness, but you're still in it. She goes, I'm not in it either. I'm like, well, then you should maybe say we're both not. Like,
that's Contessa.
You made it seem like Scott just dropped out and you're still trying. Yeah. Like, you're not doing it either, Contessa.
Yep, that's Contessa for you. So, basically, they just talk about that, and Jackie won't let her off the hook. She's like, you need counseling. She's like, can we talk about positive things? You need counseling. But can we talk about... Okay, we can talk about your office. Now, let me say this. Congratulations to all the horrible times coming your way. She's like, oh, God, can we keep this positive? She's like, yes, you do need to remain positive, because your life is about to be terror show for years to come until you get used to having a business. She's like, geez, glad I invited you, lady.
You need a counseling. Who is that? Oh, that's just Leonardo, our contractor. He showed up again. So now we go to Anila's house. She's making a bed with her sister Arpana, and their parents are coming into town for Rocky, which is a holiday. And so and here they are. It's Mahesh and Manjula. So they arrive at the front door, and they're like, well, first of all, I think the mom is playing it up for the camera. She's like really excited to be on a TV show, and they're like, oh, hi kids. They're just like so, like, they're lifting the kids up, they're swirling them around, they're like, oh, my grandchildren. They're just like so, like,
and the mom tells one of the little kids, she's like, you need to tell your daddy, he's very cute plastic surgeon, he can fix my body.
Yeah.
And then Neela's like, mom, everything you're bringing into my house is leaking. And she's like, I bring all the way from Savannah, why don't you appreciate it? So then we get the story of her parents, and she tells us that her dad came to the U.S. in the 70s and went to Virginia Tech. And then after he got his degree, he went back to India to get matchmade, you know, for the matchmaker. So yeah, they lined up all these gorgeous women, and he ended up picking her mom. And on their first date, he told the mom, would you like to come to America? And do you know how to vacuum?
Oh, my goodness. I really hope the matchmaker was the lady from Indian matchmaking. That would make me so happy. Just her sitting there nodding judgmentally, just like staring at, like, Manjula being like, you're gonna vacuum because I'm setting you two up, okay? I do not mess this up, okay? You do this.
She doesn't like vacuuming, so she's gonna die alone. I love that lady. So they're gonna be celebrating Rocky, which is a ceremony between a brother and sister, where the sister gives the brother a bracelet, and then the brother gives her a gift, and it's to, like, to bond them. And basically it's a ceremony saying, I'll always be there for you, sis.
Yeah, it's like what Teresa and Joe Gorga did on the Jersey Shore, you know,
except,
many years ago.
You know, their version was like making out, but then
it involved, you know, throwing spaghetti in each other's faces. So, so then Dr. Curran, who's Anila's husband, comes home, and this was really great because last week he was just like happy-go-lucky Dr. Curran, and this week we see he's simmering with resentments, which I love, because he comes in, and the place is like a zoo because the kids are like running around, and there's just like food in the entryway that the mom brought, and there's all this noise, and he walks in, and his daughter's like whining, like, I want my iPad, and he's like, no one cares. And then he's like,
there's just food out in the hallway. This is disgusting. And so the mom comes over to him, and she's like, I have to ask you something. You fix faces, right? And he's like, yeah. And we should know that because I've been part of this family for 10 years now. And she's like, but why don't you do me? I'm your mother-in-law. Do my face. Come on.
And then he like looks at Anila, and he gets this look like, Anila. He's like, there's food over there. There's food in the entryway. It's nowhere for me to put my shoes. She's like, I know, just calm down. He's like, I can't put my shoes anywhere.
Anila's like, okay, I'm gonna start putting all this food you brought away. So I do this one in the freezer, and the mom's like, no freezer, just leave it everywhere. And he's like,
and so then in the interview, he's like, you know, I'm a pretty fucking calm guy, except when I say fucking calm, you know.
Yeah. So then we go back to Toya's house, and she's going crazy because she's doing the, you know, your kids are stuck at home, and so now you have to go to school with your kids, you know, which I hear loud and clear because my sister is going through that. I think every parent, anybody who even knows a parent, knows what hell this is.
Yeah, it really is. So like I understand why she wants to play tennis now so badly. Yeah, so
my
basically
sister's a teacher, okay? I mean, could you imagine having a Toya? Oh God, help us.
I know. Yeah, we see just like all, like a montage of her kids just coming to her and doing the homework. At one point the kid is saying something which I think sounded vaguely like something I remember from biology class or whatever, and she's like, I don't know what that means, but it sounds right. Whatever it was, but she was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's like, you know, it's, why is this not done or something? And so it's just like she's just going through it, and you know, talking about how like, you know, on top of all the other mom things that she has to do, she now has to teach, and it's hard, and it is hard. So you know what, Toya is going through it too.
And we see all the home cams, you know, all the cameras put up around their house of just Toya doing all the laundry, all the cooking, all the cleaning, all the teaching, all the, that looks like hell. Okay. I don't need that.
Hell.
I don't need that.
Absolute hell. Yeah.
So, she's like, no one wants to be doing this for 8 hours. Oh, so Eugene comes home. Right. So he comes home from a 14-hour day and starts cooking dinner for everybody. And she's she goes, how are you? And he's like, well, it was 14 hours of pure craziness. She goes, yeah, well, I'm stressed. You know, I have so much stress. It's like, you do, but we need to like zoom out a little bit on the situation, Toya. Okay. You're complaining to a man who is just saving lives for 14 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zoom out a little bit. Okay, Toya.
And she's like, this is why homeschooling doesn't work, because no parent wants to be doing this for 8 hours. Okay. And that's just for one child. What about the other child? What if you have 4 or 5 childs? And he's like, Toya, they're called children, not childs.
And she's like, stop trying to correct my English. And he's like, but you said 4 or 5 childs. And then he laughs and all the kids laugh and she's so mad. She's like, no, I didn't. And so what if I did? And the kid's like, 4 or 5 childs, LOL. It's like, why are you always taking your dad's side? And he goes, listen, I'm not taking dad's side. I'm just taking the side of what's funny. Okay.
Yeah, and the kid's basically like, I mean, at this point, you guys are just arguing about food.
Yeah, because she tells him, could you quiet down, Eugene? Just quiet down over there. And it's like the sizzle from the stove where he's baking. He's like, it's the sound of cooking. What do you want?
So now it's Rocky Day. And everyone is like Anila is comes down to the kitchen, and her mom and her sister are in the kitchen, and her sister is opening up a bag of sugar, and like when she opens it, like some kind of gets on her. She's like, ah, and the mom goes, see, she doesn't even know how to open this up. I'm like, I love that her mom is just shaming her for not being able to open up a bag of Domino's sugar.
But this is so a mother in your kitchen, right? Because she's walking around, she's like, she doesn't know how to open sugar. And she goes, oh, and this girl, I don't even know where her measuring cup is. Like there's one standard place you should have the measuring cup. And if it's not there, you're a fucking idiot. We did a terrible job bringing you up.
And what I love also is that when she says see, she doesn't even know how to open this. When she says see, that implies that they were already having a debate about whether or not the sister is an idiot. Like, no, she's an idiot. See, she can't even open that up.
So she calls Toya on FaceTime, and the mom's like, oh, I'm so happy to see you. She's like, okay,
hi,
mom,
Toha.
Back.
Hi, Toha. They're like, it's Toya. Toha.
So Anila's like, okay, well, just wanted to warn you, I like Contessa, so I invited her. Also, I'm on the same TV show as Contessa, so I'm having a party. Contessa's coming. And she's like, why did you invite her? You don't even know her. And she's like, but she was nice to me, so maybe you guys can talk things through. And Toya just gives her a really dirty look, and guess what she does? Anger sip.
Yeah, I don't know if there was any graceful way for Anila to say, well, the producers told me I have to invite Contessa, so that's why she's invited. So I'll just say she was nice at Heavenly's party. She handed me a napkin, so I invited her. I don't know.
And then we get a clip of how mean Contessa is. We get a clip of Toya yelling at her in Heavenly's backyard because Contessa didn't want to take off her shoes in Toya's new house, which is now the biggest fight between them.
This is their drama. So now we finally have the quad scene. We're at Heavenly's house. Quad comes over, and Heavenly takes Quad up to her three-story closet. And Quad is like, I don't understand why Heavenly has a three-story closet. I mean, Maybe it's to fill up some room in her house, but it surely isn't for those fashions that she has.
Yeah, and she goes, now I'm not saying dentists can't dress. I'm saying this dentist can't dress. And just the sounds they make when they see each other. Heavenly's all, beep, 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 like squealing. And Quad's just like, beep, 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 beep. So they go up to the closet and Heavenly's like, I got you some charcuterie. And she goes, charcuterie what?
I didn't hear that. So, of course, so Heavenly's asking Quad about dating and everything. And Quad says she has some prospects, but she hasn't slept with any of the prospects. And Heavenly's like, you know, she's like, you're lying, basically.
Well, and she's still speaking in third person, right? Which is one of Quad's best traits. Heavenly's like, so are we dating? And she goes, oh, we're dating. We're dating. Any hot prospects? Oh, yes. And they are very handsome, smart, and successful. I love them. I love them together.
Yeah, come they are back. Fun. They are come so they me. Are so funny together. Yeah, and Quad just coming in and being shady is great too. So, so now they're talking about Toya's new house and everything, and Heavenly's like, yeah, Toya's been like really mean to me, and we get a flashback of Toya being drunk at that party, just stuffing her face with crab legs and being like, make up, make up. So,
and Quad's like, mean Toya. Be mean, Toya. And she's like, so you're saying you're good with Heavenly? Well, why don't you just press play right now on my phone? And so we see this video of Cecil and Simone talking to what's her buns, Toya, on Instagram Toya. Live or something. And yeah. Cecil seems to be saying, they seem to be talking about last season where Quad was just basically refusing to shoot with anybody and just doing little scenes saying, in her actually. Apartment with Heavenly. Right. And which is why she's in the situation she's in today. So Cecil seems to be saying, you know, like if Quad comes back and allows herself to show her situation and how it is today. And Tori's like, yeah, but she doesn't do that. You know, she only films with Heavenly and they're always in that bullshit apartment.
Talking bullshit.
Yeah, and Quad is like, oh, when was this? Like, she's so shocked. You know, she's literally like clutching at her pearls.
You can't tell me this is the first time Quad already saw this. Clearly, like, they were like, oh, let's shoot a scene together. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, Toya and I are great. I just love Toya. And if she were to ever say anything bad about me, I would be the one who'd be blindsided. And Toya would be the bad friend. And then she's like, oh, my God. Toya said this about me. So so now she's all shocked and angry and, you know.
She's saying, well, she shouldn't talk about anyone's house, especially mine, because I know the tea on how she got her motherfucking house. She goes, she begged, borrowed, and stole. And I mean, just in that order.
Yeah. Specifically that. She didn't steal and then beg. She begged, she borrowed, and she stole. And then she took out $100K.
Just in that order.
Specifically in that, repeat after me. Beg, borrow, and stole. Yeah. And then she basically says that Toya took out a $100,000 personal loan just to get a pool, which sounds about right. I think this, I'm going to believe Quad on this one because it tracks. It really does track, especially since we saw that listing a few months ago for Toya's house. I don't know if that's still on the market, but there was definitely a real estate listing for Toya's house. So
yeah, just a couple months ago. So I guess we're going to see how this one all works out. But also, that's how people get homes. Like, they get loans. So I'm kind of...
Yeah, when she's like, she stole by getting a loan. I'm like, oh, that's... seems actually pretty legal. I mean, maybe not financially smart, but, you know, on brand at least.
Well, it's typical, like our friend Lori always says, Toya, Toya, income destroyer. You know, that's always her storyline. She's just spending way too much. So Quad is like, Heavenly says, so debt on debt? She goes, debt on top of debt on top of debt. Just in that order. And she's like, bitch, don't talk to me about my house when you barely have yours. So Heavenly's loving this, of course.
And Heavenly goes, Heavenly's like, oh, well, I thought you'd already seen the video. Like, I didn't mean to cause any trouble.
Yeah.
Even though I had it ready on my phone at a moment's notice.
Yeah. So then we go to the Bombay Indian Bistro. Mm. And we're getting set up for this party. And Simone is the first one there. She loves Anila. And basically everybody arrives. Typical party. Yeah. No plan that the kids are coming in their car.
Their kids are so cute. I was so so happy that I had ordered Indian food last night before I watched this, because as I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting so hungry for Indian food. And I was like, yes, I have it right here. So you ever have that happen where you're like, thank God I pre-purchased my craving?
I always have Indian food in my fridge. That's what I cook the best.
Oh, God, I love
Chana
it.
Chana masala, love it. Baby. It's always there. I have it like 3 times a week. So Toya's like, Toya is telling us, Adila doesn't understand the things I went through with Contessa. And then we see a clip of all their fights. And my favorite, eagles don't roll with chickens. So I'm not going to. Toya responding, I don't know about birds.
Well, I'm sure there will. I'm sure on Facebook we're going to see a very heartwarming video, and you're probably gonna be the one to post it, Ronnie, of like an eagle and a chicken being friends in a meadow and like some fake Ed Sheeran guitar music playing it.
You know what I stopped myself from posting today?
What?
A lion whose best friend is one of those little hot dog dogs. What are they called? Those little long dogs?
A dachshund.
Yes.
A lion? His best friend.
Yeah. His best friend is a dachshund, and it's just the dachshund kissing his face. And the lion's just like squinting his eyes in pleasure, you know, like cats do. Oh my God, so cute. And I almost posted it and I was like, enough, Ronnie. You've already got like an elephant rolling around in the swimming pool.
You
like,
love
enough.
A cute elephant video. Contessa's so excited, by the way. She's like, whew, I almost said lions don't roll with dachshunds. Glad I didn't say that. She's like, I'm gonna stick with eagle and chicken. But some
eagles
I'm
roll
sure.
with chickens. So
eagles
funny.
Don't roll with chickens. Yeah. I think okay. they do. I think there's probably some eagle out there. Because you know the thing is this. You know, like animal rehab people, you know, when you know what there's always a video, an animal rehab center that loves taking a baby animal and putting it with other animals. And I'm not saying it like a bad thing, but there's always a video of like Janice from the Winnetka Falls, you know, wolf conservatory has like a baby wolf and has like put the baby wolf in a cage with a bunch of armadillos. And
that's
it's like,
my Aunt Josie. Yeah. My Aunt Josie is in bird rehab in El Paso, Texas. And she's like a real tough lady. And she's like a real tough lesbian. And she has a bird rescue. And she rescues all the things you don't want to rescue. You know, she's like, I got a grackle today. That I'm going to get that baby right back. I'm like, that's the most terrible bird ever. Don't save the grackle. You
save
know,
the
she
pigeon.
Probably left some beautiful little red robin dying on the side of the road to save the evil one, you know.
But you know that you just know this, as long as you put some like lovely generic guitar music to it, people will cry. They're like, it's a baby grackle with a baby wolf next to an armadillo, and everyone's like, this is humanity right here. This is humanity, even though it's literally not even humans.
She'll post like some Lilith Fair song playing over like the grackle becoming friends with her goat Habib.
Yeah, and by the way, I've learned not to fall for it, because in sixth grade, I read a story about a park ranger in like California or something like that who found a baby raccoon that had been abandoned by its mother. And so she takes in the raccoon, and then she lives with the raccoon and raises the raccoon. And the raccoon, you know, like gets into trouble and knocks things over around the house. But it's like her loyal raccoon. But then the day comes where the raccoon finally has to go mate. And then she like left the raccoon out, and it's like the last time she ever saw the raccoon. And I was like bawling my eyes out, because it was the end of like the raccoon left. And I'm like, you know what? All these little videos, they're cute. But the moment these animals are ready to fuck, it's like goodbye, my friend from a different animal race. I am leaving you because I gotta go fuck. So I know the way this really was.
I don't, you know, I've never looked at it like that. I always look at it like, oh, well, the camera stays on how sad this is for the human. How sad do you think it is for the raccoon to go out into the world? They smell like this lady's patchouli or whatever bullshit she was wearing. And then they're bullied and made fun of and beat up the rest of their lives because, you know, they were like rescued or whatever.
And then they wind
you know,
up
it's
on
like
Bravo.
If you ever touch a raccoon... bird from a nest, a baby bird from a nest, the mom will leave it. You know, they don't like the smell of rescuers.
And then they come to Bravo, and then their whole storyline is, you know, growing up, I never quite fit in because I like literally am not a human. But then my raccoon friends were like, ew, you were raised by humans. And like, I just never had friends, and I'm just like trying to be more fun.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all at this restaurant, and Anila pulls Contessa aside right away. And she's like, look, you know, I know you know I'm friends with Toya, but I just want you to know I want to get to know you for who you are. And Contessa's like, your spirit is beautiful. I see that. So I am completely down to just be friends with you. And she's like, you too, yeah. You know. And just so you know, there's definitely a softer side to Toya. And I speak as someone who's known her for about 20 minutes. So I really hope that you guys talk it out. And she goes, listen.
She's like, listen, here's what you need to know about Toya. She just is, she has so much love. Like, just so much love. Like, literally, she can't actually hit the tennis ball. So she just always, like, love. Love 10, love 15, love 30, love 40. Just always love with Toya.
She's like, listen, I'm just worried that you're going to be out of bounds. Okay? I just want you guys to make sure you work on this. So Contessa's like, yeah. So she's mad at me because I didn't want to take my shoes off at her house last year. Okay. Well, I thought we were good. But and she's like, you know what? I get that it's not that deep. And Contessa's already annoyed with this. You know, she's like, is this, did you invite me to your children's Rocky party? Or is this like a propaganda speech on how great Toya is?
Right. So, Toya, meanwhile, is also like just Toya's annoyed at Contessa still about the shoes. And she feels like Contessa totally disrespected her by not taking off her shoes at whatever party it was, which is kind of disrespectful, I think. I mean, I don't know. I feel like we have this shoe fight quite
it's
a bit.
Such a stupid
on Bravo.
Fight. Yeah. It's a dumb fight.
Like a lot.
And as Simone says, she goes, I don't think it's about the shoes. I think it's about Toya thinking Contessa doesn't respect her, which is true. They start talking about the sister I forget her name, but I didn't write it down, but yeah. Anila's sister is also a doctor, so she's talking to Contessa about the kind of medicine she does, and Contessa's like, well, I do addiction medicine, but you know, let's keep it about Anila. Tell me some fun stories about her. And the mom's like, oh, emotional, expensive girl. Her sister too. Everybody starts cracking up.
Yeah, like, can you believe this one? She gets through medical school and can't even open up a bag of sugar. I mean, what have I done wrong?
And so then we see the Rocky ceremony, which is super cute. It's like, tie the bracelet on your brother.
Cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. So then Contessa's like, well, thanks for having us and including us in this. And Toya's like, well, I was surprised she invited you because, like, when did you two even talk?
Right.
And the table just falls silent. It's like, right. Oh, God.
And thank God they moved. It's kind of funny because they're like, we're going to move the kids inside so we can have some adult time, which also means, like, we're going to fight. we were about to fight, so everyone go inside. So Anila's like, well, whatever's going on between you guys, you know, it's not that deep. You all need to talk about it. Poor Anila. I mean, we see this happen all the time. The newbie comes in and then thinks that they're going to be a peacemaker and a hero, and it just... it falls apart. For some reason, I always think about Lynn Curtin trying to do this for Gretchen and Tamara once. And then Lynn Curtin was the one who wound up like crying and kicking people out of her house. It just always works out that way. It always does.
Yeah. So everybody's awkward because, of course, Toya. And so Contessa's like, so you're trying to make peace with somebody that enjoys to go to war with me. So just stop. And someone goes, I wouldn't call it a war. And Toya says, you know, this is a roller coaster. It's three years of the same thing over and over and over. And she's like, yeah, this is just so old. You know, like, we're living now in the world of COVID and it just seems so petty. And then Toya just starts yelling, everybody's going through COVID. Everyone loves to bring up this COVID thing. My husband works in the emergency room. I know COVID.
And it's like, she wasn't saying, like, she wasn't using COVID as an excuse for her behavior. She was saying, because of COVID, we shouldn't be fighting about this because there are bigger things to fight about. But Toya took it, of course, the way Toya would take it.
Toya's storyline is she hates the new lady on the show, COVID. She hates her. She talks about her all the time. She resents her. So it's like Contessa brought up the new lady that Toya hates, you know? Toya's like, oh, what are you, in an alliance with COVID? Fuck you and COVID. That's what I say.
Yeah, she's like, my husband's in the ER. And Contessa's like, well, what does that have to do with me? She's like, don't talk to me about motherfucking COVID. And then it cuts to Anila slurping.
Yep.
Sippy.
There we go.
Sippy judgment.
Emotional sip. So she's slurping and she's like, I live it. And Contessa's like, well, when you see people dying, she goes, I live it. And then Toria just keeps yelling and yelling and making a total ass. And then she gets to Contessa. And Contessa's like, well, look, I'm sorry, but I don't give a goddamn about how this petty bitch feels. If you want a relationship with me, call me. Thank you. But she's really mad, and so it turns her into kind of a monster. She goes, thank you, and just drops her napkin on Anila.
I thought that was actually so amazingly rude. I thought, just because Anila's parents were there too, which felt really brash and obnoxious, she stood up and dropped a napkin on her face when this is actually like a lovely event. And even if she thought that Anila had an agenda or was taking up Toya's side, I just thought it was really, really rude. And I was actually kind of like really shocked by that, especially because I've always kind of, you know, I think I've always, it's not like I love Contessa, but I always feel like, you know, Contessa has, I've taken up for her a little bit. Like, I've been like, well, I can see Contessa's side on this or that or whatever. But this was like, I thought it was just so, so, so obnoxious. So she starts storming off. And then Anila's mom tries to stop Contessa. She's like, no, no, no. And she like grabs Contessa's arm and is like, no, stay.
She's like, let go of me, ma'am.
She's like, ma'am. And I was like, oh, this is really bad. This is
not good.
This is not going to end. I was actually like cringing at this point because this woman is like trying to be like, no, 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 I'm going to be the mom. I'm going to solve it. But she's actually massively violating Contessa's personal space. And Contessa, it's just like, I was like, I can't watch this. This is horrifying. This is going all in the wrong direction. Something about a parent being involved really like raises the stakes for me.
Well, they're fighting like that. They're both fighting like two idiots, yelling and screaming at each other, like at this family thing with kids around. And they're like cursing at each other and screaming. And so, yeah, Contessa's like, ma'am, let go of me. And she tells Anila, don't invite me somewhere just to fight with somebody, okay? Don't do that. And she's like, oh, so this is a setup? Are you accusing me of a setup? And so Toria's like, oh, yeah, we just got all dressed up and decorated an entire restaurant for you.
Yeah, as a setup. I don't think it was a setup. I think Anila really was trying to broker a peace. And Contessa was obnoxious. She was. Toya was being, you know what, Toya was being rude first, to be honest. But Contessa should have. So here's the thing. I feel
you
like
expect
Contessa,
more from Contessa, right? Like you expect Toya to be an asshole because she's just Toya. She's like a 5-year-old.
Right.
But like you expect more from Contessa.
I expect more because I feel like Contessa's smarter. And I just feel like she's smarter and she works in public health and she's dealing with all sorts of people all the time. And I just expect perhaps
she wants to be Surgeon General. Okay. That's why she went to school.
I expect her to like have patience, not just patience. Get it?
Yeah.
But
you just make Toya look dumber if you just sit there and look at her like she's an idiot and just say, okay, Toya, you know, maybe we can talk about this later. But she lets Toya get to her. And so she acts like a huge asshole. And so she storms off. And now Anila's like, that's how she leaves my party? That's how. Anila's actually perfect for this show, you know?
Anila's like trying. Well, it's kind of funny because I felt like Anila was trying to be like, well, this is a chance for me to be a victim. But it felt like actually insincere on her end. I felt like she was trying to be mad, but I felt like she didn't really know how to do it. She's like, I am mad that she left my party. And then Contessa is like, she's like, I got kids. I can't do this. Like, what the hell? Literally everyone at the table has kids.
I know. And she's also walking off like she didn't start a fight because Scott's telling her, or she didn't start it, but she didn't fight because she goes, this bitch has to find somebody else. And he goes, yeah, because you're not doing that. I mean, in front of her parents, you're not going to do that. She goes, yes, I'm never disrespectful. I mean, I will not be disrespectful in front of her parents. It's like, you just were, lady.
You just were. I mean, she was respectful in that she just said, please, ma'am. She didn't say anything more than please, ma'am. But I mean, she was so angry. I was actually a little afraid that she was gonna like blow up at Anila's mom, and I was like, this is about to get really awkward. But yeah, I think that's what the core of it is, that I just expect more from Contessa. And so finally, Eugene is the one who speaks some sense. Who was like, because Anila's like, I just thought you guys would be able to work it out, and Eugene's just like, you know what? People have different personalities, and not everyone has to be friends, and they just don't like each other. It's okay.
And the episode ends with contestant Scott driving off, and contestant's like, well, what's the definition of insanity? And he says, doing the same thing over and over. And she goes, and expecting different results. And just as they say that, it was my definition of insanity. They passed a McDonald's. And I was like, yes, this really speaks to me. It's like you do the same thing over and over. And it's like, go stop at the McDonald's and be like, why can't I lose weight? I was like, wow, this is like poetic to me at the end of Married to Medicine.
It's like putting an eagle in the chicken coop and expecting a different outcome every time, right?
But just wait, you know, sometimes that eagle and that chicken will get a featured video on Dodo. So
it's gonna happen soon enough. It just, the eagle has to be a baby eagle, just a little baby eagle. You know, it's gonna be like, headline is gonna say, baby eagle thinks it's a chicken, and you're gonna see a baby eagle following a chicken around, and everyone's gonna be like, this gets to the truth of our lives. Why can't we be the baby eagle? We're all birds.
All right, everybody, that brings us to the end. We will be back tomorrow with some below deck sailing, and then regular week until next week when Top Chef comes into our lives.
Already next week? Oh my god, I can't believe we're hitting April next week. That's crazy.
I know. Everybody, thanks so much for being here. We sure love you guys. If you want some bonus episodes or video recaps, just go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and sign up over there. We sure love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie,
she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Let's give them a kiss, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.